Welcome back to the MetaMinds podcast.
My name's Eamon.
And my name is Dan. And this is where we help you unlock the life of your dreams.
So there's a general lack of self-worth and I think people loving themselves. And you can see that in how they interact with other people in public. It's a real downer, to be honest, man. And, it's sad to see a lot of people's self-worth dropping. And I think there's a lot of reasons for that. But, you know, what would you have to say on that topic, man?
Yeah, it's a sad one because we all have it, right? We all have bouts when we don't fully love ourselves and have moments where we're maybe not being the nicest to ourselves and we're typically like our own worst enemy or our own worst critic. We all have an inner critic that, you know, might be a voice from our parents or people from our, you know, our childhood, potentially peers. But yeah, I think self-worth is one of those things that is such a powerful thing to develop. There's lots of different things that we can do to develop our self-worth and to love ourselves more. Even the idea of like saying that you love yourself into a mirror, looking at yourself, that's hard for a lot of people. Or to like to appreciate something you've done, to go, oh, Dan, like you did a really good job today, man. Like, should be proud of yourself. You know, like that's hard for a lot of people to do. But there's definitely something that flicks and something that changes when you can love yourself for all of yourself, right? Like a good example for me is I'm a very hairy person, right? Hairy back, hairy stomach, everything, real, real hairy. And I guess some of the conditioning and some of the things that were said to me when I was younger by family members made me feel like that was wrong, made me feel like I should be ashamed that I'm hairy.
Yeah.
And I remember when I was working at Woolworths, one of these guys who would always come up and he'd be so cheery with me, always talk to me. I remember one day he just said something. I won't be able to say exactly what he said, but I told him about that back hair or that consciousness around having hair. And he said, man, like I've had the same thing my entire life. I just hit a point where it's like, man, like people, if they can't love you for your whole being, then there's clearly something going on for them. Or maybe they're not even valuable in your life. You know, like maybe they're not actually good people to have in your life because, I mean, that's something that you can't necessarily control, right? It's like that's just how you were born.
Yeah, totally natural.
So, yeah, and it's the same with a lot of different examples, but I'm sure other people have got examples for themselves.
That's profound for just working like a shop job.
Oh, it was awesome.
Just one of your shop bros just be like, hey, man, just so you know, it's because other people are projecting their like childhood traumas onto
you. Dude, he's awesome. Like, he invited me to play table tennis once.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, don't know the guy. But anyway, if you're out there listening, I'm keen to play table tennis.
Please reach out. So, like... Yeah. You that, like no, that is a really good point there because it's like generally it is like, but like the problem is like what you've just said there is so significant in that it's like, you know, you're like more, you know, you're 30 now, 31, like this has obviously lived with you to the point where like you remember all these tiny significant things and you've questioned your like value and your like self-worth and how much you love yourself and should be, like, I guess, yeah, that your value in the world because of these tiny little comments when you were like younger, you know?
Yes.
And this is potentially where a lot of this stuff leads from a lot of people is that it's like one offhanded comment from one person or whatever. It's like, especially when you're younger and you're more impressionable or something like that can, you know, immediately lead you to think, oh, right, this is really bad. And this is something that is to do with me. So I must not be good.
Mm.
It's really just that simple. But then it just amplifies because you're, you know, young and impressionable, and then it sticks with you, which it obviously has.
Yeah.
And we all have these little things. And so it's like, yeah, like how do you overcome that? And you know, I guess realize that isn't who you are. And,
yeah. Well, like I said, this specific example, because when I was younger and when this was happening, I guess I didn't have the self-awareness, right? I wasn't aware that wasn't okay, you know? Because I guess like when you think about it, like we look up to our elders, you know, people who are older than us typically in our society, right? Like authority are typically the people who explain the world to us.
Well, and everyone's an authority when you're young.
For sure. That's right? It's like your parents, the school, or you have to listen to your elders, you know, where it's like, so me listening to my elders, these were family members who told me and basically implied that it wasn't right or implied that there was something wrong with me for that. I mean, that's something that I'm going to take on because I looked up to these people. But for me, the awareness came when I started realizing that, because it was an ongoing malicious thing. Like it wasn't just that, there were other little comments. And I guess it got to the point that I was aware that my energy levels, like if we want to look at a percentage, I would have to be like 110%. I'd have to feel on top of the world to even want to engage with these people. And there were like cousins that I really enjoyed spending time with. So that was the reason why I kept re-engaging with these people. But I would be aware, like, if I didn't feel top, like if I didn't feel great, if I felt 50%, I would be aware that when I left that space, I felt really drained. My self-worth would drop. I wouldn't feel myself, right? I felt like a dip in my energy and almost my sense of self. So I guess just that over time became the awareness key for me, where I'm like, these people probably aren't healthy for my life, even though they're family. They're probably not serving me or making me a better person.
Yeah.
So I had to make that decision to cut them, but yeah.
So like some of the, I guess, self-care and self-compassion, like habits that we can implement, like one thing that has been really working for me lately, and I think we discussed it on a podcast like a couple of weeks back, is that it's like when I actually do something that is, you know, of value to me, I actually give myself a moment to really just take in that I've done that, you know, because it's like often it's really hard. We live in a distracting world. Like it's so easy to get distracted and, you know, fall off your purpose and all these different things. And so, you know, over the last like few weeks, and I think it's actually been really effective. You know, like I've been sick for a couple of weeks there and, you know, I'm finally back in the gym or whatever. And it's like my first few workouts were like not very good, but I really wanted to get back into the gym. And so I went in, had a, you know, bad first workout, did a little bit like a little walk afterwards. And I was like, man, that was really awesome. Just taking one moment to be like, you did that thing and that's cool. And you're getting back on track and it's all good. Like, good job, bro.
Yeah.
You know, just doing that. That's a really good, you know, self-care habit that I think is going to reinforce these really positive thought patterns around your sense of self.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And just like language is so powerful, right? The way that we talk to ourselves is such an important thing, because with that, for example, like you getting back into the gym after a period of time or getting back into walking, it could be so easy to get back into it and compare yourself to your previous state 2 weeks ago and go, man, you did a terrible job.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You put in 60%.
Which is the default that your brain
does.
It's
so easy to go that way. Yeah. But to recognize, you know, the context and to go, you know, you're getting back into it. The fact that you showed up, because that's the thing, right? The fact that you showed up, the fact that you tried and it aligns with your values. It's clearly important to you that you want to stay fit and maintain your health. So the fact that you showed up for that value should be enough. And we should be telling ourselves, you know, nice work on that one. So I think like language is so important, the way we talk to ourselves. Like definitely for people listening, like just be aware of yeah, your self-talk, the way you talk to yourselves. And it could be such a small thing. You know, like one of my mentors the other day said something around like, you know, I have to go and do this thing. And it was related to them like going to see, I think, their grandkids, right? It's like, I have to go and do this thing. And she kind of reflected on it. She goes, you know, it's not that I have to, it's that I get to. It's the fact that I actually get that beautiful opportunity to be with my family that I care about, as opposed to just that small terminology where it's like, I have to do this. I'm fitting this in to try to make the effort to do that. And I know that's, you know, a very small example, but it extends out to everything.
Huge, that's a huge reframe. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Just a small thing, like one word difference. So just, yeah, be really aware of the language you use and how that sits with you when you actually talk to yourself like that. Because it's so easy to be.
So you've got surrounding yourself with positive people here. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So I guess expanding on that idea that I just said of the family that definitely weren't positive in my life, definitely projecting their own insecurities, their own negativity from their views of the world onto me. So I think, yeah, it's so easy when you're around people, you pick up on their energy, you pick up on their demeanor, you pick up on their views of the world. So if you're around people who are negative and pessimistic and, you know, talk to themselves in a terrible way, or even talk to you or talk about other people, that's a really good indicator. If they're talking about other people, listen to the way that they're actually talking about those people, because there's, you know, probably some negative toxic tones in there. So I guess, yeah, it's that, right? It's like, be around people that lift you up, be around people that congratulate you on your wins, and people that actually like recognize that this isn't a bloody competition, but we're all trying to make sense of this crazy world, right? And if someone does something awesome and they're proud of it and they tell you that and they're vulnerable and say, hey, this is happening, like instead of thinking about yourself, like congratulate that person, be with them. That's awesome.
And hold the space for them as well.
Yeah.
Like not just one good, yeah, cool, man, and move on. Like actually really give it to them, you know?
Yeah.
Because then you'll find that, you know, that they'll obviously feel good and then they'll give it back to you, and the strength of your relationship is going to be better. And then, you know, you're going to foster that kind of environment where that is, you know, more of a common thing. And it's like, especially in Australia where we are, like, it is not commonplace. And, you know, I've only really noticed it, especially in you, like, and it's really cool that we do that for each other, that it's like, we get to bring this news to a friend and say, this is a really cool thing that's happening to me and I'm really happy about it. And the other person actually, you know, it reinforces it positively.
Yeah.
And more often than not, like, you know, some things have been really successful for me lately, and I'm really careful with who I present that information to, because it's like, you think, oh, these are all my friends, and you want to say, hey, man, this is really cool and it's exciting, it's happened to me, and I want to let you know about it because it's cool, but you just never get a positive response because people don't want to hear it because they want to, you know? So that's you know, that's real quick way to see who is going to help, you know, give you, like, positive self-worth and help you love yourself, because it's like, if they're not doing that, then, yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. And how can you love yourself if the feedback loop you're getting from people is that isn't that significant, or you shouldn't be excited about that thing?
Yeah.
You know, it invalidates the fact that you've shared something that you clearly care about. You wouldn't share it if it wasn't significant.
Yeah.
You know, so
I mean, that goes back to what you were saying before, is that people are just projecting their insecurities onto you.
Yeah.
And they are, you know, identifying themselves in a way which is competing with you. Whereas like me and you, like, we're not competing with each other. No. You're on your journey, I'm on my journey. I'm competing with me the other day, you know? Mm. You're competing with you the other day.
Yeah.
And so when you have a win, it doesn't threaten my identity. Whereas a lot of people, you know, we're kind of like diverging topics here, but that's okay. It's just like, yeah, some people, it threatens their identity when someone else is having success.
Yeah.
That's because they haven't, like, developed their own identity. They're not secure in their own, you know, grounded in their own values,
mm-hmm.
to the point where when someone says something positive about themselves, they take it personally.
Yeah.
Where it's like, that's just nonsense, you know? Where it's like,
attack, yeah.
Yeah, it's not, this is not a personal attack on you. I'm just sharing
something about me. Yeah, exactly. I'm sharing about me.
But it's crazy how common that is. And that shows you how identified people are with their own egos, and how, you know, people are stuck in their own world and not actually, living their own, like, lives and grounded in their own values. Like,
yeah, that's exactly right.
But you know, again, just talking about this, like, self-worth and loving yourself, like, topic, that could be an opportunity for you to then hold the space to, you know, help their self-worth, or, you know, practice self-love with them. It's like, obviously, that you've got to then push down your success and achievements, and hopefully this isn't a person you're interacting with all the time, you know, but it's like, if you can then see that this is potentially what's happening with them, and then hold the space or ask them about what have you been happy about lately? Like, what's successful for you lately? Like, what are you looking forward to lately? Then you're fostering a place where maybe their identity can have some more self-worth and self-love.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah.
So it's more work on top of on the minimal work we're trying to.
Yeah, you know,
exactly. But it's like,
yeah. I think one of the big things as well with self-worth and loving yourself is trying to set more boundaries. And I know that this is such a challenging thing for so many people. We all struggle with it. And it's probably one of the most common things I have with clients, is struggling to set a boundary, because a lot of us are people pleasers. A lot of us see boundaries as conflict, and we avoid conflict a lot of the time. But I guess boundaries is an indicator that you're honoring yourself. You know, there's something that you're honoring, and you're not allowing other people to step over that, because you value yourself and you value what's true to you. So it is a hard thing to set a boundary, but I guess when you can reframe it in that way, or try to see it as something that is extremely crucial in your own development, because the more you repress your authentic voice, the more frustration, agitation, and anger you're going to have. And that's where projection typically comes from, right? If you're not addressing that authentic voice in yourself. I would urge people out there, I challenge people out there to try to set more boundaries that align with their values, and, you know, just listen more to yourself. Like, I guess it goes back, you know, with the idea of, like, positive people. If someone in your life is not going to honor your boundaries, is not going to honor you as a being that's presenting vulnerably to them, then maybe, you know, questioning how much time you spend with that person, or if they're actually a valuable person in your life. Because if someone is intentionally going to step over your boundaries for their own personal gain, it says quite a lot about them, you know? Maybe they're just unaware, but...
Yeah, but so, like, another flip, to challenge that a little bit, is that it's like, sometimes, you know, if you do have people-pleasing tendencies, perhaps setting boundaries obviously isn't your strong point, which is what we're talking about. And I guess looking at the root of it, like, you do have a perception of yourself in which, you know, in an ideal world, you wouldn't let particular things happen to you, but you're just not used to setting boundaries. And I guess, like, where the problem comes in, where, like, you know, people will treat you the way you allow them to be treated. And that, you know, that's the unfortunate reality, but it's like, it's not like someone is intentionally treating you poorly, but how you have framed yourself and how you have set your boundaries will allow that person to treat you in any way. So you might be sitting there being like, that person treats me like crap. And it's like, actually, no, they treat you how you allow yourself to be treated.
Yeah.
I guess the problem comes in where it's like, if you do have people pleasing tendencies, it might be hard for you to communicate those boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I guess maybe one way to do it would be to write down what those clear boundaries are to you, and then, you know, come up with several ways to present those boundaries to a person. If it's, if it's a particular situation, but, you know, because then you could be like, hey, I just need to let you know that unfortunately what you just did there, like, you've just crossed a boundary for me, and I just need you to know that this is a hard boundary for me, and I can't let that boundary be crossed moving forward. Because that's a really easy way to present the information.
Yeah.
Otherwise you might, you know, like, and there's multiple ways of doing it, but otherwise you'll just never present them, think that you have boundaries and you're being walked all over, or, you know, or you will present them and it might be so jarring that we'll put the person off because you've never done that before.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. Yeah, there has to be a clear self-reflection within yourself of recognizing where those lines are, you know, like drawing those lines in the sand of like, if someone does this, then this is them crossing my boundary. And like you said, what would I do in that situation? How can I address that in a way that's respectful to them, but also honoring myself, which is what you said, you know, communicating, oh, this is a boundary for me, something that feels uncomfortable. You know, I'd really appreciate it if you could be aware of that, you know.
Hopefully you've enjoyed this chat on self-worth. Now go out there and love yourself. Hopefully you've gotten some value out of this episode.
And if you have, then please make sure to give us a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you're listening to. And we will talk to you in the next one.